Good evening, Ted Major. Since we're giving backgrounds here, I was struck that the two speakers before me are not Dutch and don't come from a Dutch background. They came from a Baptist background, and it was quite troublesome when I was about 12. The person named Billy Graham came around, and he seemed to be Baptist and therefore not a Christian. But my father stood against that and claimed that the Baptists can be Christians. Jack said that even I can be a Christian as long as my theology gets as close as Las Vegas. Some of you will know what I mean by that. Calvinism in the Las Vegas airport. Church has been wonderfully welcoming to us. A core part of the theology that I was, or the practice anyway that I was brought up with, was the concept of weekly communion and the individual priesthood of the believer. And the way that's acted out here brings tears to my eyes almost every Sunday when I become your priest and say, this is the body of Christ. It's broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for your sins. My voice will crack several times during this talk, but let me just talk through that. I know that will happen because this is personal. My history with resurrection goes back to my early childhood. Before I was 9, where we had Easter sunrise services, we'd be out in an elevated area before the sun came up and watch, and as the sun cracked across the horizon, we would be singing the hymn that we sung, at least in the larger service this morning, "Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose." And it was quite a process because you woke up kind of tired and dragged out of bed. The next thing you know, you're being told to put on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Some of you know what those are. I think we saw some of them this morning. And then there was the kind of exhilaration and joy of just being outdoors and cool and dark and something unusual to do. And then that hymn always touched me, even as a young child. I doubt the words meant as much to me as simply the sound and the joy of that sun cracking. And sun would be halfway over the horizon by the time we were done singing that hymn. In Scripture, we're given a number of disparate clips of the resurrection. First, I'll mention, tie in with my profession. I'm a neuropsychiatrist and work with people with brain injuries. And the brain does very well when it has fish oil, otherwise known as omega-3. And Jesus was a cook, if you remember, after his resurrection, and cooked up some nice toast and fish for the disciples. It doesn't say for sure if he ate it, but I suspect that our resurrection bodies will do well if they have EPA as well. We talk about our belief in the bodily resurrection. None of us can really get a handle around that, I don't think. But that heaven be a place on earth and that the resurrection mean just that, that there is a body, a something that is material, something that exists after our deaths. That does mean something to me, and Jesus is the person to lead us in that. But the most common theme in the clips after the resurrection were around disbelief, believing or not believing. Yeah. Stories of faith. The two on the road to Emmaus. Jesus preached a good long sermon, if he preached the whole trip, about himself. And these are people that thought they were following Jesus but didn't really know who they were following. And that's an important part, I think, of the disciples. And Thomas is often singled out. And Mary Lokes, in her book, Named by God, makes a beautiful comment when she describes that one of the names that we have from God is Thomas, and that faith is part of what we struggle with. She says, doubt is something all of us do sooner or later. It's a passageway through which many of us travel to reach faith. It's a shoulder along the faith highway where many of us pull off and wait for a time. Some, like myself, have pulled off more than once. John Suk, one that wrote the book, Not Sure, A Pastor's Journey from Faith to Doubt, is reported to have never completely emerged from that time of doubting. He lives and ministers today with both faith and doubt. I believe that my brain is wired for doubt. We have more and more information about how the brains are constructed. And as one moves toward doubt, seriously toward doubt, the clinical illness is called OCD or obsessive compulsive, where an individual can never be sure of anything. I'm along that path. You've got to have a little of that to be able to graduate from medical school. But the path of not being able to be sure is where I sit, and it's unpleasant, and I'm a little bit jealous of those of you who are wired differently. One of the paths of doubt is cynicism, and those who know me well know that cynicism is an important part of my communication, a little different from Eric. I'm also aware that the cynicism is a sinful, judgmental cover for longing. So when you hear me being cynical, know that I'm longing. The intense, intimate relationship experience that I had with God was in college when my faith was very, very weak or non-existent, and I, over Christmas break, went to my room in my rented room, and decided to just have it out with God, and spent 3 days. We had a sink there, so we had water, and by we, I mean God and I think. That was a very long and difficult struggle for me. The verse that, do people use the term God gave me? Anyway, the verse that was very important to me at that point was John 6:28-9. They asked him, what must be due to perform the works of God? And Jesus replied to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Eric talked about external works as a sign of our connection to God. The only work that Jesus describes here is faith, belief. And here's an area of weakness for me, the ability to have faith, the ability to have the resurrection be meaningful. Right at the end of that time, I heard God's voice, and that may not be a good thing to say, but I did. And his voice said 4 words, you are my son. And that stuck with me over my life since. I was 22 then, I'm 72 now. It's 50 years that has been an anchor that holds me against all sorts of things that have been a part of my life since that time. A beautiful gift that God has given me. One of the people that came to the tomb, Mary also wrote about in her book, was Mary Magdala. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Thinking it was a gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him. Jesus said to her,